Bull Ranch has the facility and the expert personnel to get your yearlings started correctly right here in California. Hi, this is Steve Cole. We have a variety of round pens, a huge outdoor arena, as well as a meticulously maintained 5/8 mile training track with rails and a 4-horse starting gate. Your horse will be given the utmost in care and attention. We employ only patience and kindness and scrupulously avoid cowboy training methods that rely on fear and deprivation. We also have numerous irrigated turnouts when your horse needs a break from the rigors of training. So give me a call at 805-990-3669 or visit our website. At Cole Ranch, we don't break racehorses, we build racehorses.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, and a couple of things popped in my head listening to the breaks here, and fun in the sun. Don't forget, it starts tomorrow, and the opportunity to more or less play that format that everybody enjoys with Beat the Host, and Tina's all excited. She's going to play. I guess she's eligible. She's eligible. Like, does it say spouses of... I don't know why she wouldn't be. Johnny will have to tell me if she's not eligible to play. So fun in the sun. And it's fun in the sun at Del Mar already. 2 days into the meet, a carryover into day three, the first big weekend, including a overflow or monster field in the San Clemente. Steve Anderson's out in front of all of it. Steve, good morning.
And good morning from California. How are things?
Outstanding. And, of course, we get our New York fun in the sun kicked off today as Saratoga starts. You're already knee deep into Del Mar.
Yeah, it should be a fun start. There was some nice races. Good to see Restrained Vengeance finally show what he could do in Wednesday's Oceanside Stakes, which will lead to a start in the Del Mar Derby for him on September 2nd, and a very impressive maiden race winner, 2-year-old winner called Brill, trained by Jerry Hollendorfer, might be the sort of horse that's in conversations on a national basis here in 30 or 60 days, too. So a couple of very promising performances in the first day of the meeting, and a lot to look forward to in coming days as well.
Well, and you mentioned the opening day stake win. We'll have the Oceanitas today, which counterbalance to the Oceanside. But I saw where you wrote Restrained Vengeance. Brinkerhoff will wait for the Del Mar Derby till the end of the meet.
There's a three-race series here. The Oceanside was the first, followed by the La Jolla on August 5th, and then the Del Mar Derby on September 2nd on the closing weekend. He thought yesterday that the La Jolla might be a bit quick back for his runner, and that a six-week gap between races may be a better fit. In looking at the longer picture, he's got the Twilight Derby at Santa Anita, and then back down here at Thanksgiving time, the Hollywood Derby, a Grade 1 race. So if his horse continues to improve, there's a lot of prize money on the line in the next 4 months that merits a lot of consideration.
There's some themes that have been established quickly, and of course, the opening day saw Doug O'Neill win 4 of the first 5 races, but sustaining into day 2 was Jerry Hollendorfer, as you mentioned, and Hollendorfer, and in fact, your colleague Jay Pribman made it very clear that Hollendorfer appeared poised for a big meet. Hit some of the overview from your vantage point, Steve, as to who's the who going into the meet as we start to get into a into a nice pattern of racing.
Well, Jerry Hollendorfer, for example, was so due to have a big Del Mar that it's no longer humorous. I mean, last year he was the king of the second place runner. I mean, he was the back wheel exact, a partner to everyone's bets. So he was due to have a lot of success. It appeared going into this meeting, particularly towards the end of Santa Anita, and even blips during Los Alamitos' meeting, that there were a lot of horses in his barn that had conditions that could be that would benefit for this meeting, maiden races, allowance races, horses coming up in class. I think Hollendorfer has an excellent chance to challenge O'Neill for the training title. Phil D'Amato says he doesn't think he's got what it takes across the board in the lower class horses to compete with those horses. I expect Peter Miller to do very well here. He did not do a whole lot at Los Al, or maybe at the end of Santa Anita, but I do expect him to be very, very focused on this meeting too. So those three names, all familiar names, will be highly prominent, I think, all the way through to September 3rd when it ends.
The baby side, and Jay gave us kind of the verbal connecting of the dots from his annual column. Brill's performance certainly lived up to, you know, a lot of the clocker hype. What two-year-olds are on your radar that people may not have heard of, or any barn that may be harboring a two-year-old that needs to be kept track of?
I'm looking forward to Sunday, for example. There's a maiden special weight for fillies going 6 furlongs already, which is a little bit rare for California in late July to have a 6 furlong. Typically, they're 5 and 5.5 furlong races. Bob Baffert runs a pioneer of the Nile filly called Mother Mother, who's had some fast gate works at Santa Anita earlier this month. Also, Mandela, who has been known to win with two-year-olds down here first time out, has a filly by Tappet called Tapwater that also has worked well at Santa Anita and has had a workout down here already. So those are two runners that are looked upon with a lot of enthusiasm that are immediately in the future, just on Sunday. So in that sense, that'll be interesting to see if they perform to expectation.
What do you use or how do you prepare and when you play, because I know you like to bet, when dealing with San Luis Rey versus the information we get from Santa Anita, Los Al, and Del Mar, when you have the private station and we just, it's just murky. We know Miller is generally going to be ready, but how do you treat the two-year-old races, considering it's such a big part of what goes on down there?
More likely, a lot of those horses will, before they run, come out to San Diego or Los Al or Del Mar and have a workout or two, and you'll have a little bit better line on their workout timings building up to their first starts out of San Luis Rey. You don't tend to see too many straight from San Luis Rey straight into the entries. So in that sense, it's kind of negated a little bit. And then, like you mentioned before, you begin to handicap people, so to speak, just to an extent. And you have faith that if Miller runs first or out of San Luis Rey, that it's going to be ready for, you know, a new environment right away. But largely, I think it's negated by the fact that they do come into the track for which they'll race, and you know, you see a little bit more form there, and that's helpful. Once after that, you know, they start showing some form if they go back to San Luis Rey. Sometimes it's a few horses. I've had people tell me over time that like that quieter atmosphere there, as opposed to, you know, the just more than 1,000 horses on the racetrack at the other venues. They only have a little less than 500, so it's a little bit quieter of a setup in the mornings, and some horses benefit from that.
Well, we are going to look for some horses to benefit from a try in the San Diego leading up toward the Pacific Classic, and of course Accelerate figures to be a very heavy favorite tomorrow. Let's talk about the two stakes tomorrow, the San Diego and the San Clemente, and then we'll look to the Eddie Reed on Sunday. The traditional early season table setter, the San Diego.
Yeah, it's an interesting race. Last year, of course, it was supposed to be the Arrogate Stakes, and it turned out to be the Accelerate Stakes, and that was a big surprise as well. Looking through their list of runners, no, there is not a horse that jumps off and indicates to you that there would be a major threat to challenge Accelerate. There's highly likely to be scratches. There's Catalina Cruiser is a horse that you know, that might run in that race, or they may run him, you know, they may hold him out for another race. I think Sharp Samurai is more likely to run in the Eddie Reed on Sunday, so that the race could do that. Dr. Door is capable of a big performance, although he was so disappointing in the Suburban going 1.25 miles back on July 7th that even just 2 weeks back, I think that's an indication that Baffert probably just immediately threw that race out and looks to him as one that can probably, you know, be effective in this field, although from a race shape scenario, that's going to get a little crowded out front because Accelerate likes to be handy as well, and so does Curl and Rules, who's trained by Sadler. So that's that. I do think it'll be a surprise if Accelerate's beaten. He's really emerged as the most consistent older horse runner in California in the last 6 months. I don't think it's a very deep group at this hour. I think there needs to be some more participants, and so he's done what he's been asked to do. And let's see if he can continue that in the San Diego. Like you mentioned, I expect him to be a short price, and deservedly so.
Well, the turf racing, all of our conversations this week for the start of Del Mar have really focused on how important the grass is. And here is the San Clemente, which gives you an indication. 14 of them, Steve, and some familiar and some that are trying to step forward.
One of the most remarkable circumstances when you have a 14-horse field and you can easily envision there being a 5-to-1 favorite and maybe a 9-to-2 favorite, because every time you start, you know, trying to envision what the prices will be, you keep having to factor in that another filly also deserves to be 6-to-1 or 8-to-1. The next thing you know, you've got a very competitive field. I expect West Palm Beach to run better than she did last time. She was fifth as the heavy favorite in the Senorita Stakes at Sandy on May 5th. Simon Callahan a few days ago said she had some foot issues that bothered her, that held her back a little bit. Look for Dolce Ride, who's never been a mile before, to run well. She was supplemented for $2,000 on Wednesday, and Baltus is very enthusiastic about her chances. He is slightly snake bit so far in the last few days. He has had several horses run very well, but not win. And Desert Stone in the Oceanside, fourth place, very close, is an example of that. One of these days, one of those horses is going to break out and win and take $19-$20. And perhaps it's Dolce Ride. Rafael Bejarano writes that one. You can make a case for several others in the field. There's going to be a fair amount of speed. Ollie's Candy that won the Summertime Oaks, never lost. 3 for 3. She's never been on turf either. She drew 14, and she's a front runner. How on earth is she going to overcome that? They're worried about that in the barn. Speaking with trainer Billy Moore yesterday, because we have to get out, move over as we can, and play the break, which is, you know, a very sensible plan. But you can't urge her out there because she could easily go. They could easily go a 46.5 mile, and that's going to eliminate the first five right there, because there's going to be too many horses lying in wait with a 1/4 mile remaining for those runners to sustain that. So, you know, there's a lot of good horses in this field that arguably have a chance, and I'd nominate one more besides West Palm Beach and Dolce Rider. I'd even expect that something like Lexington Grace can run a race. She ran a decent mile at Santa Anita back on June 3rd and winning an optional claimer and showed a little bit of stakes form earlier in the year. So definitely a race to look at, and it's one you know you'll get a price.
Haven't had a chance to do too much pedigree work in the ninth, but 5 furlong for the boys sends out some interesting 2-year-olds, kind of a mix, maybe some pedigree in here. It doesn't look like the fanciest of groups. There is another Larry Best, Jerry Hollendorfer player, and that's Roaten, the 10, that may end up. I haven't seen the line yet. I suppose that's your favorite.
I think so. He's drawn wide. He's drawn in post 12, which is, it could be a bit of a detriment as well. But post 10, pardon me, they run 10 going 5/8. That may not be an ideal draw for him, but there's lots of ability, a lot of quick workouts, and a lot of expectation that he will, you know, live up to a $320,000 yearling purchase price made last August. He's by Into Mischief. Hollendorfer spoke, very highly of the colt in a conversation yesterday. Interesting thoughts on the same morning from Doug O'Neill related to his two runners in the field. He trains Magnificent McCool, a Giant's Causeway that was purchased for $600,000 at Ocala. He thinks that's a first Saturday in May horse. You don't hear too many people say that in the preceding July. So really high hopes there for Magnificent McCool, whose name will not be hard to remember. Truck Salesman, trained by O'Neill, is by Can the Man, at $230,000 purchase. Quick workouts at Santa Anita of late, and the expectation that he is going to be someone who might benefit more for five furlongs. Co-owned by Eric Johnson of the Colorado hockey team, the NHL team. So it's kind of interesting to see his investment in racing so far. Hollendorfer also starts Dueling, a Violence Colt, $475,000 yearling, with decent gate works lately. He'll be ridden by Asa Espinosa, the apprentice, Victor Espinosa's 18-year-old nephew, who had a winner here on Wednesday and was the joint leading rider with Heriberto Figueroa, another apprentice, at Los Alamitos that ended last Sunday. So there are two young jockeys, Asa Espinosa, Heriberto Figueroa, who tied for the title there. Also, Edgar Pajares, another apprentice jockey, had a really fine finish to the Los Al meeting. He had 3-2 win days. So moving away from some of these high-profile races that we've talked about in the last few minutes, there's a few young jockeys who will appear in you know, rank-and-file races at this meeting who have a chance to establish themselves much more so on a national basis, you know, as we get into the summer and, you know, people start thinking about that Eclipse ballot for Eclipse Award. One of these young men might find themselves moving up that list.
No, valuable info looking at the bugs. Let me finally ask you about the Eddie Reed on Sunday, which certainly has a lot of names that we've come to know and respect, particularly Mullins and Red Baron's Barn. It's in the post. He's just venerable. But the Shoemaker winner, Hunt, shows up in here. Bowie's Hero, Neck Shares, Flamboyant, and this is a nice cast.
It is a very good group. You know, some of them are grade one horses. Some of them fit very perfectly, some ideally in this. Next year's big push from Richard Baltusom. I'm looking forward to visiting with him this morning about next year's. But he gave me a text message yesterday, said he was very optimistic about that Colt's chances in this race. Actually, it was a gelding, sorry. He was second in the Kilroy Mile grade one and third in the Shoemaker Mile grade one, beaten a half length both times, comes roaring in 1 mile races. Now he gets an extra furlong to play with. But when he does so, you start moving into the to the range of distance that best suits it in the post, who's, you know, very good at 1.25 miles to 1.5 miles, but did win at 1.125 miles back in January at Santa Anita and the San Gabriel, so he can be effective too, and ran very well in the Whittingham on Memorial Day weekend in his latest start. Looking through the field a little bit, very, very kind comments from Phil D'Amato about expectations for Fashion Business, was fifth behind Spring Quality in the Manhattan on Belmont Stakes Day. Sharp Samurai adores this course. He won the Del Mar Derby here last year and was a game fourth in the Hollywood Derby back in November. Bowie's Hero, capable, won the Kilroy, but only fifth in the Shoemaker. That's a prop. That was a bit of a puzzle there comparatively. Also, there's a new horse coming in from Ireland who literally arrives in Del Mar today called True Valor. He'll be ridden by Jamie Spencer for trainer John Murtaugh, the ex-jockey. True Valor arrived in the United States in California on Wednesday and had his quarantine. And if everything goes accordingly, he's supposed to be released at 1 o'clock today and arrive at Del Mar, probably around dinner time considering the traffic, but that's something that they can't control. He's won 3 of 14. He was a Group 3 winner at Leopardstown on June 14th, won 7/8. He probably should be able to handle the 1.08 mile because he has run well at Epsom in the past, and that's like climbing the staircase. So I think that at shorter distances, so I think he can be effective. He drew the rail. That doesn't help, especially in a crowded field. But there's some indications that he might have some ability. He stays with Simon Callahan, so we'll see what that colt can do over the course of not only on Sunday, but looking forward to some other races such as the Del Mar Mile, for example, next month.
Well, we always look forward to an opportunity to talk with Steve Anderson, who does just an unbelievable job tromping around the barns and gathering virtually everything you need to know. And he's got a good opinion on top of it between Jay and Steve and Brad Free. Well covered at DRF.com, DRF Live, DRF Anderson on Twitter. Steve, Have a great meet. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to Paradise Woods running tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern time in the Oceanitas. And we look forward to talking to you whenever we can during the meet.
Thanks again, and have a big opening day.
I appreciate it. Steve Anderson, everybody, who is just so prolific, and how he, you know, how he churns out what he does. Plus, he's watching everything internationally as well. Let's take the time out and come back with Sean Clancy. Speaking of churning out material, writing, and content, the Saratoga special, been on the scene now. I'm going to forget what number. It's in double digits, but what Sean Clancy and Joe Clancy and Tom Law fashion with the Saratoga special is remarkable, and it is so appreciated. And yet every summer, people discover it for the first time. By the way, speaking of discovering for the first time, those of you that are Thorograph users and have been coming to the Thorograph seminars Saturdays and Sundays for many years, ever since I got Jerry Brown to consider doing them. Wrote to Jerry when we were doing the barbecue and said, you know, I got a great space. You can bring all the, you know, all the Thorograph team and let them, you know, exchange ideas. And that now, God, it's got to be 15 years. Well, there's a new location for Thorograph players. You're going to go to the Trackside Grill. And for those of you that haven't seen what's gone on at the Trackside Grill, that's a story in itself. You know, the little, I don't know, 15 by 15 little restaurant that has been, right there between Nelson and Lincoln on Frank Sullivan Way, you know, on the walk up to the clubhouse. The transition there, they got a beautiful little backyard that they've cultivated, and the seminars are moving to the Trackside Grill. So that's where you're going to have to assemble, 11 o'clock, and bring your sheets and listen to Bill Spillane and Jeff Franklin and Jerry Brown himself as well. I wanted to make everybody aware. And go to the Trackside Grill for breakfast and burgers and whatnot outside the gates. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back for more or less the second half on this busy weekend preview, and the first with both Saratoga and Del Mar at hand. And Del Mar day three, Saratoga day one, and for Sean Clancy, Joe Clancy, and Tom Law, who just pile up awards on a regular basis. It is, I believe, year 17. Is that possible? Sean Clancy, good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here.
What year is this?
I think it's 18, actually. We started in 2001, so I guess this is technically our 18th season, which is pretty amazing.
It, of course, grew out of what you were doing with the Steeplechase Times. And did you ever imagine, Sean, that it would be what it really has become? I mean, it's just now a fixture. It's one of the things that everybody that comes to Saratoga and that is here for the summer, it's one of their, I think, favorite things. You hear people just gush.
It's been amazing how it's worked. I mean, it really started from just being a racing fan. I mean, I'd come up here every summer and ride jump races and gallop horses. And I felt like you just see these amazing things in the afternoon, the mornings, all day, every day. And I couldn't find anything to read. I couldn't find enough to read about. So that's when Joey and I started it. I stopped riding racing in 2000, started in 2001. And we always had grand visions. I mean, we always thought it had a chance to become a real mainstay at Saratoga. And it took a while. It was the first couple of summers weren't sure we were going to make it, but we've made it, and it's been great. I mean, it's just a look, I'm lucky to be here, and I'm honored to write about a place and a sport that I cherish so much.
Well, it's so appreciated. And one of the things that is an outgrowth is how it's been an incubator, a petri dish for young talent that has gone on, into the world. I mean, I used to feel that same way about the barbecue when we would get, young people, first jobs, first summer jobs. You have interns and aspiring writers and handicappers and photographers. Talk about what it's like to foster careers when it comes to the special.
Oh, that's been a real special part of it. I look back at the emails that I received from Quint Kestenick was one of the first, and Travis Stone and Gabby Gaudette and John Panagot and Pete Fornatel and Jim Mulvihill. And I'll leave a bunch out. I mean, it's been really fun. It's great. You get these emails from kids that like the game, but are in college or getting out of college, don't know anybody in the game, and would love to just try to figure out a way to get started. And that part's been really special. We tell them from the beginning, look, this isn't like any other job. You're going to do everything. You can make as much out of it or as little out of it. And they took the ball and ran with it. It's just been a rare, very, very rewarding part of it to see kids come here not really sure if they like the game but aren't really sure about it, don't really know enough about it, but want to get a chance. And after a couple summers, they've just fallen in love with it, like all of us, and have been able to build careers in the game. And very proud of them.
Well, and it's a testimony to you know, the atmosphere that, that you and your brother and Tom Law have created and established. And then it comes to the work that goes into churning out a paper that is typically how many pages a day?
Today, I think, was 28, but it varies. I mean, we'll go up to, you know, Travers is 56 or 64. I mean, we've had huge papers over the years. They seem to get bigger and bigger, which I guess is a good thing. The first year, I remember doing eight-page newspapers. So I you know, looking at a 28-page or into the 50s, 60s, it's just great to see. I mean, we were... The first year we looked at a couple of them, we're like, this isn't a newspaper, this is a pamphlet. And we'd be handing it out, and people didn't know what it was about. What people just didn't know, you know, they just didn't know what it was like. And we were pretty new and rusty at it, and we've gotten better over the years. But it's fun. I mean, it's a great grind. I mean, if you love writing, love horse racing, it's the ultimate immersion course of, you know, writing and racing all jammed into the, you know, 6 weeks of Saratoga, which is just brilliant.
Well, and for those on track and those around town, they pick it up every morning. And for those that don't get here, you can really, one of the compliments, Sean, that you receive regularly is from people who read online. And for them, it's kind of a lifeline. And not that the mainstream coverage, you know, that's in the trade, you know, the industry trade pieces, not that that doesn't do justice to Saratoga, but in terms of the heartbeat and the, you know, the ebbs and flows of the meet, and, you know, your daily column, which you and I have talked about over the years, and, you know, that is a, you know, really a, the EKG of what's happening at Saratoga.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what we try to do. We try very hard to bring the track to life. I mean, one thing I always noticed when I was riding races and, you know, through college and different times, if I brought somebody to the track and showed them, you know, kind of my version of horse racing, they really became fans and liked it. Unfortunately, it's hard to give that kind of segue to people. So, you know, in kind of a, I'm probably romanticizing, but we've really tried to bring horse racing to people that, you know, aren't necessarily going to be able to see it like we do. I mean, you know, I try really hard to bring the horses to life, the people to life, you know, where most guys aren't, you know, they're not able to go walk in Bill Mott's barn and stand there over the years and talk about Royal Delta and those things, and Late and those type of horses, you know, and we're standing in the stall talking to Bill and the horse, and we've done that from the start. I mean, you know, all the horsemen have been so gracious with us. I mean, they've, you know, opened the doors, and you know, we've really had we've had a ball doing it. I mean, we love it. So we try to bring it to, you know, just try to bring the racing to everybody, where you get a different feel of it, you get the true essence of it. I mean, I remember days walking back to the test barn with Charlie Lopresti after Wise Dan. It was just the two of us, and you know, we just walked back together. He kept looking at me. He goes, and the first year, he didn't really know anything about us. And he's like, "You sure you want to walk back here?" I'm like, "Yeah, I want to walk back here. It's what I'm, you know, that's what we want to do." And we walked back and just talked all the way there and stood there on the, you know, leaned on the rail and watched Wise Dan cool out. And I've done that over the years with, you know, all the way back to, you know, Rachel Alexandra and Birdstone and, you know, all these different great moments at Saratoga. Where, you know, I end up, I mean, a lot of times I'll end up, I mean, I'll be miles from my car by the end of the day. You know, it's like 7 o'clock at night and I'm stranded over, you know, the far end of the backstretch or somewhere, you know, talking to a trainer and then walk back and write about it. But believe me, I mean, I mean, it's just the best, and that's what we like to do. And that's the fun part.
Well, it's just an absolute pleasure day after day, the 40 days, and it goes by so quickly. That is kind of an untold portion. We always end up on Labor Day weekend and Friday just not believing where the 7 weeks went. Give us, Sean, going into today and into the 7 weeks, give us you know, some of the the highlights, some of the things that you came up here and set up shop, and you knew that's either at hand or coming down the road that particularly you're looking forward to?
I mean, for us, we just, we like to see the horses returning. I can't wait to see Late, who kind of, came out last year and became who she is. And I love the jockeys. I mean, watching these guys ride, I mean, see a guy like John Velasquez turn it up a notch, and Javier Castellano and the Ortiz brothers, watch them go at it day in, day out. That's always a great thrill. I mean, my favorite part, I'm not on the racetrack the rest of the year. I mean, I go racing but for me, I'm not at the track every day. So my favorite part when I come up here is just to be out here in the morning and just see horses and trainers and talk you always discover a few horses you didn't know anything about. That to me is just the best, and then see breakout performances during the season that you weren't expecting, and some you were expecting, some you weren't expecting, and that part's just brilliant. And I just think that the caliber of racing and the quality of life up here, to be in one place where everybody's enjoying the same thing. I mean, we obviously we're horse racing fans, but the rest of the year, it's like you're on your little island as a racing fan, and here it's it's what everybody's talking about. It's why everybody's here. So just to enjoy that, just to kind of share that with your brethren about how much you like the game, I just think that's the special part.
Well, and you also get to share it as Miles begins to, become cognizant of everything around him. The family part for you, talk about what's it like, because you're working 18 hours a day.
Yeah, I mean, the work's the work. I don't mind that. It's fun. I get to deal with my brother. I've watched his kids grow up here. I mean, I've had all of them: Ryan, Jack, Nolan, then they went from delivering the paper as little kids to now they're, out of college and have real jobs. And Jack Clancy, my brother's middle son, he showed up on my porch this morning at 5:30 and had driven all night to come up here. And, he left Maryland, left Fair Hill at 2 o'clock or something, and drove up. And so we got in the golf cart and handed out papers just like old times. I mean, I remember, picking him up as a kid. He was great. I mean, he's just young and inspired. I'd pick him up every morning. We'd hand out papers all day. My one great lesson with Jack, he was little. He jumped in the car, and his breath was terrible. I said, Jack, did you brush your teeth? He was little. He said, no, I just didn't have time. I just didn't have time. I said, Jack, you always have time. You got to brush your teeth in the morning. He looked at me. I said, that's a life lesson. Doesn't matter how late you are. You got to brush your teeth. And he ran in and brushed his teeth and came back out. We've just had these great laughs and memories and moments to cherish over the years. And look, I just come, I mean, my brother and sister and I were coming up here, when I was a kid. I mean, I was here for Secretariat. There's a picture of my family on a green park bench down past the, eighth pole at Secretariat. Was jogging to the start, and there's the Clancy. I'm my little seersucker, overall little suit, and my sister's there, and my brother and my parents. And so, to share all that, I mean, I always laugh. The Clancy's, we don't have one family picture, family portrait, but we just have wind pictures. I mean, they're the only pictures we have of our family growing up. It's like, oh yeah, here we are at Delaware Park in 74. No, here we are at Pimlico in 77, and Bowie 81, Saratoga 83, so for us, it's just been born in us, and we love it. And to be able to share that with my son now, who's 9, he's not here for the whole meet, but he'll come up for a couple weeks in the middle, and to share it with him, he'll jump in the golf cart and ride around and go racing. And it's just a really it's what life's about. I mean, I hate to sound so romantic about it, but I mean, life can be, there's a lot of life that's hard, and you get working hard and stressed out and missing the moments. And I think this is one place that it's high pressure for everybody, whether you're a jockey or owner, trainer, or writing a newspaper. But ultimately, it's what life's about. I mean, this is the essence of it right here, where you get to share something you love and be with friends and family and, you know, just appreciate and enjoy life for in a magical place.
Well, well put, as always. And Sean Clancy, who is Saratoga Special on Twitter, and whether it's thisishorseracing.com, where you can access, for those of you that won't have the paper in your hands, and all over town and all over the track, the Saratoga Special on a daily basis. We'll save, Sean, our conversation for next week with Bill Gallo and the jump team for the somewhat abbreviated, unfortunately, steeplechase season. We'll get into that next week. In the meantime, I wish you and the staff, your brother and Tom Law, just a wonderful meet, and as always, appreciate the visit.
Thank you, Steve. No, I appreciate it, and I say this every time. Thanks for everything you do. I mean, you bring the sport to life every day, and that's really important and special, and I love your enthusiasm.
I appreciate that. Sean Clancy, everybody. The three-headed award-winning monster, Sean, Joe Clancy, and Tom Law, and the work that they've done and the careers that they've launched, even amongst those that didn't go into the industry. They spent valuable time and undoubtedly received great life lessons with the example set by Tom and Joe and Sean. Let's take time out. We've got a visit with James Scully. I've made Scully wait for a week and a day. We'll get Scully next, Ed DeRosa, Hammer, and Mike Welch. Weekend preview at the races, opening day Saratoga at the races. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats. $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool, fun-in-the-sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete fun-in-the-sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Used to keep it cool, used to be a fool, all about the bounce in my step. Watch it on the news, what you gonna do? I could hit refresh and forget. Used to keep it cool. Should I keep it light, stay out of the fight? No one's gonna listen to me. If I write a song, preaching what is wrong, will they let me sing on TV? Should I keep it light? Is that right?
We are back at the races, and you can kind of feel the momentum building toward opening day at Saratoga. The changes and scratches are up, including a very important scratch in the nightcap. Prognostication comes out. The Chad Brown runner that had been outposted the 12 hole feels like County Court, the horse to beat for Suge and Dark Energy. Sherita Vo down inside, Kendrick Carmouche. And by the way, for those of you that love sibling kinds of things, you may, I didn't notice it until I handicapped seriously and started to really dig in. But how about the fact that Dark Energy shows up here at the end of the day after the brother runs earlier in the card, and I always love this. I'm a sucker for that. Dominant Strategy runs in the fourth race, and the 3-year-old, and then Dark Energy, the 5-year-old, kind of cool. So this is the well-remembered Zardana, Arnold Zetcher, and Zetcher bred both and still owns Dark Energy. Might not own him at 6:20 tonight. Available for $40,000 in this non-winners at two. Joined by James Scully now, and we haven't had a chance to talk to Scully ahead of the summer action, but it's great to get him in here. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Yeah, it's great, exciting opening day with Saratoga, and glad to talk to you.
Well, we also want your overarching summer opinions in general, including what's going on at Ellis, that I'm sure you're plugged into, and of course Del Mar having started on Wednesday. What's your typical summer menu, James?
Well, I mean, at this time, I'm definitely really focusing more upon Saratoga and Del Mar, especially in this opening week. And but you know, I mean, they always look forward to that Arlington Million weekend as well. In 3 weeks, I think 3 or 4 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm like a lot of horse players, really, especially like, you know, on this week, which is, it's so exciting with those races getting started. So, you know, to me, with the Saratoga opening, I mean, the two big storylines are, you know, you have a big race in the trainer's race between Chad Brown and Todd Pletcher, where they've each won 40 races the last 2 years, Brown 40 in 2016, Pletcher last year. And, you know, last year, Pletcher started like slowly, got off to a relatively slow start in the meet, and Brown led nearly all the way, but got a little bit cooled off at the end, and Pletcher caught him like late. So, I mean, obviously Pletcher, 2-year-old races, he won 15 2-year-old races, juvenile races last year. Chad Brown, turf, he won 24 turf races. By comparison, Linda Rice is third leading trainer with 16 overall wins. So those guys are, you know, you try to beat, if you're playing pick fours, pick fives, whatever, and you're trying to beat Brown on the turf or Pletcher in juvenile races, that's a losing strategy often. And then in the jockeys colony with Ortiz brothers, Irad won it in 2015. Jose's won it the last 2 years. And really in 2015, when Jose won 14 turf races, the last 2 years, he's won 64 turf races, 123 wins total. you know, real aggressive rider. And the dynamic that really I noticed with Jose Ortiz in this opening day is a perfect example. He was named on 8 horses, including the horse in the last race that scratched, and only 2 of those he rode in the last start. You know, so 6 of his mounts today, he's taken over. Prognostication was one of the 2 he had ridden last time. In 6 of his mounts today, he's taken over for a jockey. So it's not a dynamic where you have like Ortiz coming in off a horse that ran 3rd and he was up last time on him. Somebody else was up on that horse, and you know, you're looking at him as possibly moving it up. So you have to account for him in these races. He rides real aggressively. He's going to win races wire to wire on turf, dirt, sprints, routes, and you know, just a real factor at Saratoga.
What is your, you mentioned the multi-race approach and tons of opportunity there, obviously, and we've already got our first carryover at Del Mar 2 days in. You talked about trying to beat the, you know, the obvious players. Then there's the flip side, which is the opportunity sometimes to lean on those guys, James. And I find myself quite willing to do that and to take, you know, I don't mind that short priced Pletcher, Brown, Asmussen, or other in these sequences when there's, you know, such big bulky fields again that, you know, that make it so challenging, and it's what, you know, what produces the big returns in the multis.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I like to play multiple tickets, and I like to try to take a stand. I mean, sometimes I can't find a single in a sequence, but I like to play singles, and there's no doubt about it. I mean, today's a good example where, you know, I'll be looking to single Nana Madeline on one of my, you know, my late pick 4 tickets, because I really, you know, think that filly, I thought that was a really strong race. And, you know, I think she's the one to beat. I really like her in there. And it's, you know, it's a little bit of the same strategy, you know, with Brown in the, you know, tomorrow in the Diana, where, you know, I think Sister Charlie's the best turf distaffer in his barn. And I loved her race at Keeneland. And I don't know what happened last time. She got off to a bad start and was sluggish early. But, you know, she finished up well. And I just think she's going to, you know, really move forward off that effort and, you know, is the one to beat in there. So I'll be looking at single Sister Charlie on a ticket, and no doubt about that strategy with, you know, looking to single those horses at a short price and, you know, that allows you to spread deep in other races.
Well, earlier, Nick Tamaro too. Nick leaning on Sister Charlie, absolutely. We'll talk about some specific spots, but let's also give us a bankroll application approach, James. Do you find yourself gravitating in one direction or another in terms of maiden races, for instance? You know, what do you like to press when you look through these cards? You know, there are certain regular kinds of races. I talk about the New York bred turf allowances. They're always full fields, and they frequently produce big double-digit winners and exotics. What do you gravitate toward for this and for prime plays, whether it's a Del Mar, Saratoga, or both?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, and definitely, I mean, I'm going to pay close attention to, you know, maiden races. I'm especially with these 2-year-olds and, you know, pedigree or trainer angles like that. You know, I mean, like at Saratoga, the prime example, I mean, I'm always like in a turf race going to be keeping my eyes open for like a George Weaver horse on turf that offers some value. I'm always like thinking, hey, I mean, a trainer like Weaver to me has been pointing his horses towards Saratoga and has done well on the turf the last few years there. For example, he's got this, he's got a horse in tomorrow in that second race, that Noble Spirit, that Noble Mission. You know, he stands for, you know, for $20,000. He's a multiple Group 1 winning son of Galileo. He already has a nice turf horse, the first crop sire in Europe. And, you know, this colt, number 9, Noble Spirit, in the second race, that dam is out of Shadowcraft, you know, Grade 1 winner. So sure. The pedigree is there on both sides, and you know, that's the kind of type. It's 4-1 on the morning line, but you know, you have Pletcher and Brown and some other Mott in motion in there, so could be a little bit overlooked. That's the kind of horse I might take a swing at, because I'm going to be focusing on some angles like that.
What about out west?
Well, out west, I mean, you know, it's like early in the meet, you know, I'm looking to, you know, I was like paying close attention to D'Amato and Baltus. They both did well, but, you know, adjusted real quick on that first day watching the Doug O'Neill and Jerry Hollendorfer just, you know, run real big. I bet that O'Neill horse yesterday that ran second in the finale, Radish, I thought was a decent price for that horse and was a tough beat, but that barn's going real well right now. So, you know, and surprisingly as well, I mean, just watching those races, you know, speed is put better on the Del Mar turf, in my opinion, in my estimation, the first 2 days than it has in recent years. And, you know, I'm keeping an eye out for any kind of possible value along those lines with the front running type.
Well, let's look for some value and look for those classic James Scully type plays. Go wherever you want today, tomorrow, Saratoga, Del Mar.
Well, you know, perfect example today at Saratoga. I'm going to be looking to play both these horses if the price is right. Eddie Keneally is shipping in two horses to run on today's card from Churchill. And you have both Julian Leperoux and Florent Giroux are up there. And if they were on either one of them, I'd be worried about them just being too far out of it, because they typically are both going to have more seconds and or thirds than they are wins. And Jose Ortiz is picking them both up in race number five, number three, Wild Type. She was 4-1 on the morning line last time, got just bet like just a real good thing, went off 6-5. And you can see that trouble line bothered at the start, but that only tells half the story. She came up in traffic, had to extricate herself from traffic. She was like like 5 or 6 wide, still had a shot that day, looking for a much better trip, looking for her to be forward from the start. Looks like a real promising. And plus that race came back strong. I think Adventurous Lady came back and crushed Stakes Rivals, Open Stake Rivals at Lone Star for Asmussen. And the winner, an Into Mischief Philly for Bill Conley, led wire to wire. Lady Lucy ran a good race. It was a promising type. So I'm on Wild Type in race five. And then in race number six, Laney came back this year, and I really liked that effort. She ran two back at Churchill, where she ran second by a head, really offered a good move on the far turn. And then last time, while she didn't have the same starch perhaps in the stretch, she still was passing horses well, offered a nice middle move into contention, and that race came back strong number-wise. So I think there's a potential for some pace in here. The two outside horses both have some speed. There's some speed on the inside. I think Bluegrass Jamboree is going to be the worst-kept secret today. I mean, anybody can see those races last year at Saratoga are good enough to win in this spot. She's going to be up there 9-2, 5-1. Everybody's going to be wondering where the 15-1 went. And I just think there's a potential for a real solid contested pace. Laney's going to make her move on the far turn, be in position to strike Turgot for home.
Very good. Some good ideas for Friday. And Nick also was on Bluegrass Jamboree today. What about tomorrow, James?
Well, you know, tomorrow, you know, the Sanford, I was, you know, I really like that race Lexitonian ran at Belmont the first time out. I like how he settled, was real professional that day. And I thought just offering that turn of foot and, with something left in the tank, it looked like to me. And there's a bunch of horses coming in from Churchill. They could run decently, but, I mean, to me, the two best two-year-olds I saw at Churchill this year were Dreammaker, who scratched. I don't know what happened. He might get a hurt. And Type 10 was the other one I really liked for Asmussen. So I'm willing to take a stand here with Pletcher, with Lexitonian. I think he's going to run a big race. And, you know, in that early sequence, like I said before, I'll be building some stuff around Noble Spirit. I like him first time out. And this is a perfect example. I mean, theoretically, I could have a Pick Four ticket tomorrow where I go all Lexingtonian, Sister Charlie, all, you know. And, you know, that's the kind of play that I'll make sometimes if I really have a strong opinion on two horses in a sequence, and maybe have another saver where I use a couple other horses in the Sanford and narrow in the other two spots.
Excellent. Anything else?
And, well, I'll tell you, at Del Mar tomorrow, you know, I'm really interested to see how this Catalina Cruiser, I mean, it's probably too much too soon. It's sort of an odd spot because Hieronis Racing and Sadler, you know, own and train Accelerator. But, boy, that was a fast race last time. This four-year-old colt, been six furlongs both times, but he's by Union Rags out of a Monchef mare. So might not be good enough, but interested to see him run. And then the San Clemente is a good betting race. And the race really came up with some pace, I thought. A bunch of speed, even on the outside. And this bad behavior is going to go from the inside. And I just think that West Palm Beach is sitting on a big effort for Simon Callahan. That race won its first start stateside in pretty nice fashion. That was also her turf debut. And then came back last time in that Senorita and really sort of just left herself too much to do, I thought. Got on track too late and looking for her to take a step forward off that and run a big race from off the pace. So West Palm Beach, number nine in the San Clemente.
Well, an embarrassment of riches, James Scully, when it comes to these cards. And you know, we're focused I have to focus, of course, these couple of days on Del Mar and Saratoga, but you got the New York Derby and the New York Oaks at Finger Lakes tomorrow. You've got the Colleen in Ontario at Woodbine. Tuesday, of course, coming up, they'll have the Prince of Wales. Arlington and everywhere else, they're terrific. Summer action in full swing now, the first full weekend of summer racing across the country. Brisnet and Twin Spires helping everybody win. James, best of luck this summer. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Good luck to you.
James Scully, and you can follow, you know, James will have Pick Four plays and, you know, various individual spots, not just for weekends, but you go to Twin Spires, click on the blog roll, and we're going to talk to Ed as well in a little bit, but so many, Vance Hansen and Kelly Riley and Ed and Dick Powell, and it just, it's all out there for you to read, peruse, and utilize in your own handicapping. Speaking of handicapping, put up the selections, put up my opinions for the day. They're up at the website. I was waiting for the scratches to make any changes, and there are some adjustments that needed to be made. Prognostication coming out of that 10th race certainly changes things. The fact that Hollywood Cat did not get in to the 7th today, that New York bred allowance makes it a little bit easier. It's still a good, well matched group. You may opt to, you know, lean heavily. I'm actually bookending it with My Heart Belongs to Daddy and Giant Zinger. Let's see, anywhere else that was notable? Italian Charm. You know, this first race of the whole meet is a bit of a slippery slope. Now seven horses, and I, frankly, on the pick five, I don't blame anybody for using all seven, A's and B's, and not even necessarily as any C's. I'll give you one crazy scenario, because mile and an eighth with horses chasing, that too fast to pass, who's a hard hitter, he's a sprinter, but if he gets to jog along for a half mile, I don't know. You see mile and an eighth, you see horses all of a sudden, especially with horses here that don't have, you know, a lot of mile and an eighth success on their pages. I don't know. I found the opener very, very challenging. And it's, you know, Andy, if you were following Andy, and I hope some of you went to the show last night, 8 o'clock at Parting Glass on Thursdays at the Post with Andy last night, Sal Cumin and Manny Franco and Nick Zito. But as Andy writes and has written the last few days when the card started to materialize, he says, so much fun. If you like the handicap, this is the greatest puzzles of the year, other than Breeders' Cup. Back after this, hour three, we got, not sure who's next, either Hammer or Ed DeRosa, Mike Welch, and we might even hear from Mike Lakehow today. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Free registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.